जामुना तीरा बना चारे जमुना तीरा बना चारे जया राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन भालभा गिरिभर धारी जय गोपी जन भालभा गिरिभर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुना तीरा बन चारे जामुना तीरा बना चारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्यमाध डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्यमाध हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की नमः आचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की ग्रंथराश्रम भागवतं की दाई गौर प्रेमनंदे ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी सु शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text 20 through 22. Sri Narada Uvacha Sa huh?
No. No, 21.
Okay. So we have 21 there, but we're starting on 20. Yeah, the purport is on 21, right? Okay. So I'm going to read 20 and then we repeat on 21. And then, so I just sing it myself. Sri Narada Uvacha Saitham daitya patina paripristo mahamuni smajamanastam abhyaha tadbak amrita jantrita. Translation: Narada Muni continued, when the saintly person was thus questioned by Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the daityas, he was captivated by this shower of nectarian words, and he replied to the inquisitiveness of Prahlad Maharaj with a smiling face. Text 21, and we can chant together. Sri Brahmana Ubhacha Vededan Ashura Shrestha Bhavanna Nvarya Sammata Iho Para Major Nrinam Padanya Dhyatma Chakshusha Vedadam Ashura Shrestha Bhavanna Nvarya Sammata Iho Para Major Nrinam Padanyat Dhyatma Chakshusha Vedadan Ashura Shrestha Bhavanna Nvarya Sammata Iho Para Major Nrinam Padanya Dhyatma Chakshusha. Please chant. Vededan Ashura Shrestha Bhavanna Nvarya Sammata Iho Para Major Nrinam Padanya Dhyatma Chakshusha Sri Brahmana Uvacha Vededan Ashura Shrestha Bhavanna Nvarya Sammata Iho Para Major Nrinam Padanya Dhyatma Chakshusha Sri Brahmana Uvacha Vededan Ashura Shrestha Bhavanna Nvarya Sammata Iho Para Major Nrinam Padadhyatma Chakshusha Sri Brahmana Uvacha Vededam Ashura Shrestha Bhavanna Nvarya Sammata Iho Para Major Nrinam Padanya Dhyatma Chakshusha Sri Brahmana Uvacha. The Brahmana replied, Veda, know very well, idam, all these things, Asura Shrestha, all best of the Asuras, Babham, you, Nanu, indeed, Arya Sammataha, whose activities are approved by civilized men. Iha, of inclination, Uparamayoho, of decreasing, Nrinam, of the people in general, Padani, different stages, Adiyatmachakshusha, by transcendental eyes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The saintly Brahmana said, O best of the Asuras, Prahlad Maharaj, who are recognized by advanced civilized men, you are aware of the different stages of life because your inherent transcendental eyes, with which you can see a man's character and thus know clearly the results of acceptance and rejections of things as they are. Purport, a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can understand the minds of others because of his pure vision in devotional service. A devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can study another man's character without difficulty. Text number 22. Jashya Narayano Devo Bhagavan Hridigat Bhagavan Hridgata Shada Bhaktya Kevala Jagyanam Dunoti Dvantan Arkavat. Translation. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of opulences, is predominant within the core of your heart because of your being a pure devotee. He always drives away the darkness of the universe. Purport. The words Bhaktya Kevalaya indicates that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of all knowledge. Krishna is the master of all knowledge. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Jashasha Sriya. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarvabhutanan Hridesha Arjunatishtati. And when the Lord is pleased with a devotee, the Lord instructs him. Only to the devotees, however, does the Lord give instruction by which to advance further and further in devotional service. To others, the non-devotees, the Lord gives instructions according to the manner of their surrender. The pure devotee is described by the words Bhaktya Kevalaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Bhaktya Kevalaya means Jnana Karmadya Amisraya, all mixed with fruitive activities and speculative knowledge. Simply surrendering at the lotus feet Simply surrendered at the lotus feet is the cause of all devotees' enlightenment and awareness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummitam Jana Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Shimate Bhutaswami Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashati Adhisattarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyava Chapatitanam Pavanevi Vaishnavevi Namo Namaha. So the continuation of this very wonderful pastime narration, and yesterday we covered Srila Narada Muni telling the story of, to illustrate the behavior of a perfect person, a person in the description of a perfect person equals the sannyas ashram. And the highest of the sannyas ashram is a Paramahamsa devotee. And in this case, the description, the illustration of this perfect being is given by Narada Muni in the example of the narration of a sage, of a brahmana who took this vrata or this practice of being of the python. So it's explained that this type of practice, the brahmana will sit down in just one place, actually lie down, just like a snake, you know, like a python. He will lie. The description is that he's lying in the road, and he just lies there. He doesn't move. He doesn't do any type of endeavor. In other words, he doesn't do anything. He just lies in there. And he's covered. He doesn't cleanse his body. He doesn't make any endeavor to eat. He just lies in there. And he's covered by dust. He's covered by dirt. And this is it. This is, I mean, you can picture the whole thing. And the is illustrating that for the common people, just picturing someone like that, immediately you think, you know, oh, this person is much gone, basically. Sometimes we see that type of situations in when you go and see a homeless person, you know, just lying in the street, and you know, you feel sorry about this person. You know, you think, oh, this person is completely gone, like that. But so for the common person, there is absolutely no understanding that of the position of the sage. But for a self-realized person, for a pure devotee, he immediately can recognize. And the reason he can recognize, the sage was able to also understand that, oh, here is a pure devotee. And he could pinpoint what was the quality that Prahlad Maharaj has that allow him to recognize, you know, that basically being able to almost like the cover or the undercover of this sage, Prahlad Maharaj was able to go through. He was able to recognize. And the particular quality is this divya chakshu. Divya chakshu. Divya means there is a divine vision. We hear that word divya chakshu in the 11th chapter when Arjuna asked Krishna to show his universal form, and Krishna say, yes, I will allow you to see, but first let me give you this divya chakshu, this divine vision. So his devotional service, kevala, means, you know, that is pure, that is only devotional service, is not mixed with things. The explanation that is given is by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that this pure bhakti comes to be when you take away the mixing of these two elements, which is jnana and karma, speculation and fruitive activities. So in general, in the beginning stages of devotional service, there is this quite pretty much mix, actually all the way to, you know, the stage of pure devotion, there is some mix of jnana and karma. It is very evident in the beginning stages of devotional service, in the neophyte stages, then the definition that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives of the neophyte devotee is a prakrita bhakta. Prakrita means that it's mixed with material. It's a materialistic devotee. So it's one of those terms that this combo that of two things that doesn't combine. You know, either you're a materialistic person and a devotee, there is, you know, opposite things, and then you put the two together. So this is mixed with materialism. So, and this materialism have to do with all kinds of desires and things that we have within the heart. And therefore, the symptoms of this stage of devotional service that is mixed with materialism is because these are two opposite things, is that there's like a toggle world. You're basically, your psychophysical being is the field of a warfare between the materialistic tendencies and the devotional tendencies. And then sometimes devotion, you know, is stronger, sometimes material is stronger, and you're in this constant toggle world. And you're in the middle, the soul, you know, like, oh, you know, like that, being pushed this way, being pushed that way. I always remember as a child seeing, you know, the cartoons, you know, and then you have the little demon that comes and tells, you know, the character, do this. And then there's a, you know, little angel that comes, no, don't do that. So that type of thing, you know. So, and in the middle, you're completely confused. You don't know what to do. So, but in the situations of a devotee, then there is a, let me see, the purport that of the verse that we read today. No, what is it? Okay, in this one, in the number 22. That when the Lord is pleased with the devotee, the Lord instructs him. Only to the devotees, however, does the Lord give instruction by which to advance further and further in devotional service. So, obviously, we don't have the position of, at least, you know, I can speak for myself, but in general, you know, this position of Bhaktiya Kevalaya is not a common thing, it's rare. So most of us, we're not in that position. And how is that we gonna get instructed by the Lord within the heart? What is the process by which, you know, a conditioned soul that is taken to devotional service gets instructed by the Lord within the heart? And what is that type of instructions that the Lord gives us? What is that illuminates? And the The particular thing that is said here is Krishna is the master of all knowledge. So, the words Bhakti Kevalaya indicates that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of all knowledge. So what kind of knowledge we're talking here is obviously transcendental knowledge. So immediately you come to mind, you know, the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna explains that the last part of that chapter, Krishna goes on to explain to Arjuna the means by which you can attain transcendental knowledge, and then glorify, you know, transcendental knowledge and what transcendental knowledge would do for you, and what is that transcendental knowledge that you what is the essence of what you get from transcendental knowledge. So it's nice to, you know, read that in chapter 4, you know, obviously starting from the famous verse 434, which, you know, Krishna gave the process by which someone can get transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge comes from the Lord within the heart, but when our heart is covered with all kinds of things, we can understand, you know, it's very confusing. You can understand the instruction to the Lord. You're not prepared to hear. All that the Lord is within the heart, and he's giving remembrance and forgetfulness according to the desires of the living entity. For those who come to devotional service, we desire to understand, and especially we desire to understand our relationship with Krishna. And Krishna started to give the intelligence. And what is that intelligence? First, that you start to associate with the devotees, start to look for a teacher, for someone who can teach you. So, and that's Krishna's instruction. Tad vidhi panipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. That one looks for a devotee, a tattva darshi, a devotee who has understood the truth. And then what is this devotee does when he is pleased with your endeavor, when he sees your sincerity? Then you receive transcendental knowledge. And what is that transcendental knowledge? Saying for text 35, and when I just read the translation, all the way down to the end of that chapter, which is pretty fantastic. Krishna says, having obtained real knowledge, this transcendental knowledge, from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, they are mine. So what is this transcendental knowledge allows to do, to see? Allows to see that every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. That basically is an is the implication is a complete understanding of who Krishna is and who we are and what is the relationship between us, the living entities, and Krishna. That's transcendental knowledge. And that becomes quite, you know, later in chapter 10, in the famous Chaturshloki verses, Krishna explains, you know, that when we get that type of understanding that of Krishna's position, then naturally you start to engage in devotional service, you know, very happily and very naturally. Aham sarvasya parabhavo matto, what is it? Aham sarvasya parabhavo matto sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante man, what's it? Buddham bhava samambitaha. that understanding Krishna's position as the source of everything, you know, you understand Krishna's position, naturally you engage in devotional service. Naturally you engage in devotional service. And then what happened when you engage in devotional service, what does Krishna does within your heart? You know, the tesan shatata yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam, that as your devotion, the sincerity of your devotion, and you start to develop the affection for doing your service towards Krishna, then Krishna from within the heart, he gives you that intelligence, dadami buddhi yogantam, the intelligence by which you can come to him. Now, the natural result of engaging in devotional service and receiving instructions from the spiritual master, so, you know, the relationship with the spiritual master starts with, you know, this pariprasnena sevaya that we were, you know, talking the other day. And it's of submission, service, and inquiry, questions. So those instructions allow us to come to the position of devotional service. The spiritual master gives us the means, engages in devotional service, and sort of guide us in receiving this transcendental knowledge and the process of purification of our, you know, being. And as we advance on that, then the intelligence is being given from within the heart. How to come to Krishna? Dadami buddhi yogantam yena man upayanti te. And Krishna says, you know, the tesham evanukam partam aham, what is it? Aham agyana yantamaha. That this transcendental knowledge is like a lamp that takes all ignorance. Nasyami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bashrata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy within the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So, Krishna explains, you know, that's the result of receiving transcendental knowledge from the spiritual master. And naturally, when we come to the position of fully understanding that, then that's when, you know, you actually can be able to appreciate and recognize pure devotional service. Like that. Krishna says further in the Bhagavad Gita, even if you consider the most sinful of all sinners, when you're situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross the ocean of miseries. As a blazing fire turned firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions of two material activities. In this world, there is nothing so sublime as pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoy this knowledge within himself in due course of time. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly obtains the supreme spiritual peace. But ignorant and faithless person who doubt the revealed scriptures do not obtain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his action, and whose doubt has been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus, he is not bound by the reactions of work or conquerors of riches. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharat, stand and fight. So, the sage, the Brahmana, the Python Brahmana, was very pleased with Prahlad Maharaj, and it's explained that Prahlad Maharaj, just that simple exchange of Prahlad Maharaj worshipping him and then inquiring from him, this Brahmana considered that it was so pleasing that he expressed that it was like a shower of nectar. Just a simple question. Even that it may sound, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj was saying, I hope, you know, this doesn't sound impudent, right? Because he was asking a little bit that, you know, why, if he can explain why he was fat, you know what I mean? That's a little bit rude, you know, that you're asking someone, excuse me, you know, you're a very nice person, but I wonder why is that you're so fat? You know, like, yeah, it's rude. But the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, I mean, first he showed that he was able to recognize, he respected the sage, he worshipped the sage. He touched the lotus feet of the sage with his head. And Prahlad Maharaj was a king. And he was coming with his entourage, you know. So the sage also recognized, you know, Prahlad Maharaj. So, like I say, it takes one to recognize another one. So both of them, the sage was praising and appreciating Prahlad Maharaj. And just as Prahlad Maharaj could recognize the position of the sage was recognizing the position of Prahlad Maharaj as a pure devotee, just by the symptom, like that. So it's a wonderful exchange. We're going to further hear the explanation of the sage, why he was fat. And it's 8:12. We are, this week and next week is very auspicious weeks. So many appearance and disappearances of so many great personalities is during this week and the next week. We started last Sunday with Advaita Acharya, and today is the disappearance of Srila Madhavacharya. Tomorrow, I think, is the appearance of Ramanujacharya. And Saturday will be the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. Friday, there's a whole bunch of great personalities. And I know, Friday is Bhishma Dev disappearance. So, a lot of nectar too. So I thought to read a little bit the past tense of Srila Madhavacharya. Madhavacharya is our sampradaya is named after him, the Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya Sampradaya. The three predominant personalities of our sampradaya is Lord Brahma, Srila Madhavacharya, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the importance of Madhavacharya in our lineage is tremendous, and so his teachings, because Lord Chaitanya's a lot of the teachings of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are completely based on the teachings of Srila Madhvacharya. So we're going to touch. I'm hoping to touch a little bit on that. The nine principal teachings of Madhvacharya and how they were taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and presented to the world like that. So, Srila Madhvacharya, I read. Sri Madhvacharya appeared in 1238 AD near Udupi, Karnataka, in South India. He was considered an incarnation of Vayu, wind god. He had an unusually strong physique, an extraordinary intellectual power. Once, a fierce Bengali tiger attacked Madhvacharya's sannyas disciple, Satyatirtha. Madhvacharya wrestled with the tiger and sent him away with his tail between his legs. You ever seen one of those creatures? A Bengali tiger? You ever seen it in the zoos and things like that? They're gigantic. I mean, they're such a powerful creature. I mean, like gigantic, like this. Anyway, Madhvacharya sent him with his tail and his legs. Madhvacharya took Diksha at the age of 5. Sannyas. Sannyas at 12 and he left home. He appeared with a mission to fight and defeat Shankara Mayavad in personal philosophy. By giving a pure interpretation of Vedanta Sutra, he promoted pure theism. He named his innovative Shastric explanation Dvaitavad, pure dualism. After Shankaracharya, who had previously toured India spreading impersonalism, Madhvacharya also traveled the length and breadth of India preaching personal theism and devotion to Lord Vishnu. He defeated innumerable Jains, Buddhists, Mayavadis, atheists, logicians, and agnostics. With a hope of meeting Srila Vyasadeva himself, Madhvacharya walked up to the Himalayas. Vyasadeva gave him a Shalagram Shila called Ashtamurti, approved his Bhagavad Gita commentary, and blessed Madhvacharya with deeper realization of the Shastras. In Udupi, Madhvacharya installed a beautiful deity of Gopal, standing alone, holding a cowherding stick. The deity manifested from within a chunk of Gopi Chandan. He established 8 math temples to lovingly serve Udupi Krishna. The sannyas leader of each math worshipped the Krishna deity with rigorous regimen of ceremonial ritual, punctuality, and impeccable personal conduct. Every Ekadasi, they observed Nirjala, total fast of all food and water. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya originates with the Madhavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers thoroughly study Madhava's works before compiling their philosophy. For the Sat Sandarbhas, Sri Jiva Goswami drew heavily on Madhava's writing. Jiva Goswami found the Gaudiya philosophy of Achintya Veda Tattva in Madhava's Bhagavad Parya. Sri Chaitanya himself visited Udupi, the seat of Madhava's sect. The Lord introduced Harinam Sankirtan into their sect. The Madhavas and the Gaudiyas share many of the same philosophical points. Both consider it necessary to surrender to the lotus feet of the Guru, Guru Pada Ashraya. In Sutra Bhasya, Madhavacharya cites the Brihat Tantra and the Maha Samhita to show that a disciple may reject a bogus guru, who proved to be useless. He may then accept another qualified self-realized person as his guru. In Prameya Ratnavali, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan summarized the 9 principles common to both Sri Chaitanya's and Madhava's teaching. In Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to carefully observe the 9 instructions of truth given by Sri Madhava Acharya through our Guru Parampara. So those 9 instructions are called the Nava. What is it? Nava Prameya. The 9 teachings, the 9 instructions. So they're very important. The book, you can get it in the internet. It's very beautiful. I have it too. If I have a PDF, if you like, you know, I can email it to you. It's by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur write this book in the format of questions and answers, which is quite a fantastic. He asks the questions and then he gives the answer. So he has a question, putting himself in the position of an inquisitive person who wants to understand. We have a little time, so I can read a little bit from that Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, at least the beginning. So Nava, Prameya, Siddhanta. There is 9 truths of evidence that these are the teachings of Madhava Acharya. Question. What command has the supremely worshipable Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given to us? Answer. His order is this, that we very carefully observe the 9 instructions of truth that Sri Madhavacharya has given us through the Guru Parampara, disciplic succession. Question. Who forms the Guru Parampara? Answer. The Adi Guru, original Guru, of all the spiritual masters in the disciplic succession is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Showing his great mercy, he gave instructions in the truth to Lord Brahma, the Adi Kavi, original poet. These truths were in turn taught by Brahma to Sri Narada, by Narada to Vyas, and successively from Vyas to Sri Madhavacharya. Such instructions received through this disciplic succession are called Guru Parampara Upadesh. Question. What are the names of these 9 instructions given by Sri Madhavacharya? Answer. Their names are thus. 1. Bhagavan alone is the supreme truth, one without a second. 2. He is the object of knowledge in all the Vedas. 3. The universe is real, Satya. 4. Difference between Ishvara, Jiva, and matter are real. 5. Jiva souls are the servants of Lord Hari. 6. All souls are different according to their different situations. 7. Liberation, moksha, is the name of attainment of Bhagavan's feet. 8. Bhagavan's pure worship, Amala Bhajan, is the only way to obtain liberation. 9. Pratyaksha, direct perception, Anumana, logic, and Shabda, spiritual sound, are the three types of evidence. So these are the 9 teachings of Srila Madhavacharya. And then it concludes here, Sri Madhavacharya served as Madhavi Gopi in Radha Govinda's eternal Vrindavan pleasure pastime. So he appeared also in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And then came again, you know, as Madhavacharya. So to basically open the path for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So I stop here. Any thoughts or comments? Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Madhavacharya ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari. One quick announcement. So breakfast will be served upstairs today. So third floor.